Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What happens when God says no? No to a prayer you've prayed earnestly from the bottom of your heart, from the depths of your soul. When Paul and Julie Huffman married, God placed in their hearts a love for children and affirmed in them a desire to help those in need. They adopted two girls from two different Pacific Island nations. So why would God take one of their daughters, Kristen, take one of their daughters home at the age of 19? We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you that in the unexpected moments of life, maybe you may be going through one of those moments right now. Well, we pause to remind you that in the midst of these moments of life, we have the Good Life Radio Show to remind you that God loves you, and God knows, and God is there with you. And if you don't know God, you can know God, and you can know and experience His love through Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that He died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has been the strength and comfort for Paul and Julie Huffman, He'll be there to be your strength as well. Paul and Julie are the authors of Because She Believed, Faith That Overcomes Even Death. They've served with medical and evangelical missions since 2003. This is a pre-recorded interview with Paul and Julie. Prepare your heart. Prepare your mind prayerfully as we listen to this interview with Paul and Julie. And Suzanne Maurer and I will be back with a few comments. Well, we've known each other through the years. It's great to reconnect. But remind me, Paul and Julie, where did you grow up?
Danny, I grew up in the woods of West Virginia, and that's actually where I was first introduced to the Lord, was as a young kid through His creation, is how I started exploring, looking for answers, mm-hmm. find out who had created all the beauty that was surrounding me.
How did that...
I grew up... I'm sorry.
Go ahead. How did that exploration take place? Did you just have an inquisitive heart and spirit?
Well, actually, Danny, was more of a relief. For me, it was a getaway. My family life was not a very good one. My father was abused as a child and carried that forward into our family. And it was often for me, because we were surrounded by wood, just a place, you know, a refuge to get away. And as I, you know, 5 or 6 year old, 7 year old kid, you know, I could go away for hours without anyone noticing into the woods around us. And that's where I went, you know, to, as I said, have a refuge. And that's where I started noticing such a beauty and tranquility and just the awe and wonder, you know, of all the beauty of God's creation. Mm-hmm. And it was just really life-changing for me.
How about you, Julie?
I grew up in North Carolina, just north of Charlotte, very close to where we live now. Went to school in North Carolina, and then with my first job, moved to South Carolina. And Paul eventually moved to South Carolina as well, and that's where we met.
What happened when you were watching The Passion musical 2 months before Kristen's passing?
It started, Annie. Girls wanted to really watch the musical. You know, I've seen some of the various productions, you know, the last days of Christ, and some of them, you know, were very dramatic. And, you know, I was very moved by some of them. And being a kind of a lighter-hearted version, if there is such a thing, you know, musical, I wasn't really looking to get a lot out of it personally. I was just wanting to spend time with my girls and answer their questions. But before the, right before it started, Danny, my heart was just kind of crushed, if you would. It was just broken. And I was convicted by God's Spirit that I was becoming callous to his story. I was becoming callous to his sacrifice, not intentionally, but just because of the exposure over the years to the various presentations. And I took a moment and prayed, and I asked God through tears to please show me his heart. And I just wanted to see below the surface into the depths of his heart. And right on the tail end of my prayer, on my words, the Spirit even pushed me a little further, Danny. He added to the end of my prayer, as a father. And then I prayed again and said, please, Lord, show me your heart as Jesus' father. And that's where it all started. My heart was broken when God showed me a vision of my oldest daughter leaving us. It was beautiful, but it was also very heavy. She was turning away and grabbing hold of Jesus' hand, and they were starting to walk away and kind of fade, you know, into the mist or the clouds. I couldn't really see for sure, but and my heart was just really broken at that point, know that God had to have that same experience with his son. He sent him to the cross to die for our sin. And at that moment, God asked me if I would see sin different if it was my child that had to die for sin. And would the church see sin different? Would the world see it different?
Julie, and what did you, did Paul share any of this with you? What was your experience at that time?
No, he didn't say anything at the time. We were, all four of us were watching it, and Paul started crying. And he cried through much of it to the point that the girls kind of started teasing him.
Hmm.
But, you know, I didn't make any connection. I obviously didn't know what he prayed. Certainly didn't know how God had answered. Hmm. Just knew that it had really moved him. And over the next few weeks, he seemed quieter, not as talkative. He just wasn't himself. And I asked him several times, is there something going on? Are you okay? And he would always say, yes, everything's fine. But I knew something was going on during that 2 months, but had no inkling in any of my wildest.
Well, what would you do if you saw a vision like that? I can imagine why Paul was crying. Suzanne, as you listen to Paul describe this vision that he saw, what strikes you?
Well, I have to be honest and say I've never experienced anything like this. And so I hear the sincerity in his voice, and it's going to prove to be very valid, but it just must have been incredibly real to him to have grabbed hold of him in such, in a little bit of a life-changing way. So I'm sitting here just marveling at what he experienced, but can't honestly relate to it myself.
Well, I'm with you. It's not something that I've experienced. There's a certain weightiness that goes along with the experience, and of course it's happening. It's happening there at the Passion Musical. He doesn't say anything to Julie or the girls. They don't understand what he's crying about. It must have, I would imagine, at some points been pretty lonely for him to know something or to sense something strongly and not be able to share about it.
Well, and weighty. I mean, he must have felt like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders and yet didn't feel comfortable in sharing it. So he was carrying it alone, and as you say, what loneliness.
Well, this feeling I got, I'm trying to describe it, it's sort of like when you're, if you've ever ridden a bike and you don't have your wheel, the wheel is not secure, so the wheel is wobbly, but it hasn't fallen off, and the bike is still going, but it's a wobbly ride. That sort of describes how I felt when Paul, Julie, and I were having this interview. I didn't really know how to respond. Maybe today you don't quite know how to respond to something like this. Well, when we come back, Paul and Julie will share more about what actually happened in this experience. And they've since written about it in their book, Because She Lived, Faith That Overcomes Even Death. You can find out more about it at Because She Believed. BecauseSheBelieved.com. Because She Believed, Faith That Overcomes Even Death. You can find it at BecauseSheBelieved.com. This is the story of Kristen Huffman, Paul and Julie Huffman with us in this pre-recorded interview. Suzanne and I will be back, but as you can tell, this is not a ordinary, run-of-the-mill kind of interview. It touches us in some very sensitive ways. There'll be more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro.
Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenanen Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Thousands saw Kristen Huffman's testimony of faith on live TV or video posted on the TV station's website. Thousands more saw her story on Facebook, seen in over 60 countries. Kristen Huffman's story is written about by her father and mother, Paul and Julie Huffman. The book is titled, Because She Believed, Faith That Overcomes Even Death. You can find out more about the book at becausheshebelieved.com. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Grateful that you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, you can get this program in its entirety for free. I encourage you to share it with a family member or friend. Get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. A pre-recorded interview with Paul and Julie. This is what we have today. And listen in with a sensitive and a tender heart as Paul and Julie share this gripping story. And Suzanne and I will be back in a few moments with some insights.
Hearing that 2 months, had no inkling in any of my wildest imagination that what he was going. There was no way I could have gone other than by showing.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't show me that at that time.
So 2 months went by. How did you find out about Kristen's accident?
Well, during those 2 months, I had put Kristen on restriction, Danny. I had kind of locked her down. She'd ask me why, what she had done wrong, and I would tell her that she just needed to trust me. But during those 2 months, I was wrestling with God over the vision he had shown me. And my prayer to him every day was, you know, please, God, if you're willing, remove this cup. You know, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And it was a week before her accident, so almost 2 months after that Easter night, when God and I had our conversation over lunch at work, and we were having our same argument with our struggle, and he just really pressed into me with almost an ominous presence that if I didn't release her, if I didn't set her free, that he couldn't do what he needed to with her, and then he couldn't bring good out of what was coming.
So you said she was being locked. You mentioned the phrase locked her down. What does that mean?
Yes. I told her she needed to ask permission to to go anywhere other than school or work or home. So if she wanted to go out after work with her friend, that, you know, being 19, she normally didn't have to ask for permission to do something like that. Mm-hmm. But I had, you know, told her that she needed to basically ask me before she did anything. And
was it because you felt the pressure, or you felt the sense that something may happen to her? Was it an act of protection?
Yeah, I was still arguing with God, and I was hoping to find a different answer than the one that he had been giving me. Mm. I was confident, as well as I could be, that her time with us was limited.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know exactly how she was going to be leaving us, but I felt it was going to be forever.
Like a father holding on, knowing what may happen, and you were grasping to hold her to yourself.
That's correct. The flesh and the father in me was, you know, it felt like a wrestling match almost every day with God. And his answer was always the same. And at one point, you know, I just cried out to God, you know, I can't drink that. You're God. You know, you sent your son. And I know now how you saw that, how you felt that as a father. But I'm not you. You know, I can't drink that cup.
Mm-hmm.
And he always answered me with scripture, almost felt at times like, you know, Jesus being tempted by the devil, and my flesh was tempting me, and then God would answer through his spirit, you know, through scripture. And every time I would, you know, tell him that I couldn't handle it, he would go back to person Matthew 10, you know, says a disciple is not above his teacher or a servant above his master. And he always used, you know, the scripture that I had buried deep in my heart over the years to teach me, speak to me, and gently lead me what I would consider towards his, you know, redemptive purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know exactly how that would work at the time, but, you know, he was, even though I was struggling against him, he was still gentle with
me. What was it like for you, Julie, going through this period? Because it sounds like, and correct me if I've misunderstood this, but it sounds like Paul was going through a lot. He knew certain things that he feels God was revealing to him. Were you privy to what was happening?
Not at all, Danny. As I said earlier, I knew that his spirit, something was going on. We've been married 24 years. We know each other very well and spend all our time together when we're not at work. He was quieter. It was obviously he was struggling with something. I asked him several times, is there something going on? Is there something wrong? He didn't feel, for what he told me, that God's grace allowed him. He didn't feel a need he had to share with him. The struggle was, I'm sure, very painful, but at the same time, in the presence of God.
Hmm.
And God was speaking directly to him. And so, although he was struggling in quiet, it's hard to explain the balance. He can do much better. I had no clue what was going on, what he was struggling about.
So how did you find out Kristen was in an accident?
The week before the Friday, which was a week before her accident, after God had told me he couldn't do what he needed to if I didn't set her free, he couldn't make things work together for good. When she came home that evening, I stopped her and we sat down for a little bit. I still didn't feel led or God directed to share with her what God had shared with me, but I did tell her that God had told me to give her a wing and set her free. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, you know, to please make wise choices. And she had, you know, given me just a real, you know, a long hug and a very sweet smile and said, thank you, Daddy, for trusting me. And Danny was the next weekend. She and her friends.
Well, Paul, as he describes the struggle, Suzanne, setting her free at the same time, wishing, hoping, praying that God would change his mind based on what Paul believes, knows, feels is going to happen.
You know, Danny, I just...
What an incredible wrestling match internally he must have felt.
Well, and as I'm listening, I can't help but think, God has listeners out there today that have either experienced this or are going to experience it. I don't know people that have actually wrestled with God in the way he's describing, and I have to admit, I wished I could ask him, was he audibly hearing God's voice, or was this through a thought process? Mm-hmm. But it was very real. It was daily, and it's just a unique story for me to hear, and yet I'm confident that there are others that have experienced this, or as I said, maybe this is a preparation for someone that's going to hear.
Well, I think at the same time, we want to be careful not to... The scripture talks about the conscience.
Yes.
Some believers have a strong conscience, some have weak. What I do want to be careful of is that someone today is going to listen and there's a thought that comes into their mind. This is Paul and Julie Huffman's experience. But for someone to think that, and this is a sensitive, very tenuous area, someone thinking about God coming and taking away someone very dear to you and you start living in fear because of that, I don't believe that the Lord wants us to live in fear of that. That's I think this is a very unique experience. Although, as Jesus said, he used very strong terms about how we relate with our family in relation to how we relate with God. But again, that's what we're wrestling with here. We are wrestling with as we listen to it, because how does this relate in our life experiences? So, you know, you might be saying, Danny, what are you saying? What is this? What is the meaning of this? Does any time I have a thought, a scary thought about my kids, is that going to be God telling me that something's going to happen to my kid? And I think, Suzanne, that's the part of the concern that I
Yes, want. It's also noteworthy that each time they had this wrestling match, if you will, God answered with scripture, and I think that's something to note.
Well, when we come back, you'll hear more from Paul and Julie, and as you know, they're going to explain what actually happened in this case of fulfillment of what Paul was sensing all along, and how they went about, and well, really how God was working through this for his good purpose.
Yes.
Does God allow things to happen? Does God make things happen? Does where does Paul Huffman stand? Well, I asked him a question. It was a bit direct, And the way I asked him about it, maybe it's a question that you would want to ask him yourself. Well, he answers it. One thing about him is there's a sense of, a general sense of authenticity as he explains his experience. More from Paul and Julie Huffman when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, how do you know it's really God speaking to you? Especially when God is saying something that you don't want to hear. You don't want him to say it. You don't want to believe that that's what's going to happen. It's contrary to the instincts that you have as a father or a mother. Why, God? Why would you even let me know these things? Why not just leave it as a surprise? These are maybe some questions that you may be having as you listen to Paul and Julie Huffman explain the passing of their daughter, Kristen, in the surrounding circumstances. You're listening to The Good Life radio show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. How does God speak? One thing Suzanne said before our break was that God would answer them, and as they would hear him, it was in Scripture. But we're touching on an area now where there is a great deal of interpretation and subjectivity that goes along with the experience. So let's go back and hear more from Paul and Julie as they share from their hearts about the greatest pain a mother or father could experience. Here's more with Paul and Julie Huffman.
And I asked her, you know, to please make wise choices. And she had, you know, given me just a real, you know, a long hug and a very sweet smile and said, thank you, Daddy, for trusting me. And Danny was the next weekend. She she and her friends were at a festival in downtown Charlotte, and they were heading to their cars after the festival was wrapping up. Everyone was, you know, literally hundreds, you know, people were crossing the street and, you know, headed to their cars. And she didn't see, being as small as she was and in the crowd, she didn't see a car that was coming, and she had stepped out into the traffic and was hit by a small SUV. And she had texted us maybe 20, 30 minutes before the accident, told us they were heading to her friend Kim's house. And we had, unusual to us, normally we would wait till we heard back from her before we went to bed, but God just gave us a peace, and we actually fell asleep early. And right after we got asleep, we heard the doorbell ring. And my thoughts were immediately, you know, is this God's answer to my Easter prayer? You know, is this his final answer? And I got up quickly and put on some clothes and started down the stairs, and I could see her best friend, Brooke, standing outside on the porch. And Brooke had her own key, so she normally would just let herself in. So I knew if she wasn't already in the door that something was wrong, and it kind of confirmed, you know, what I was suspecting. And I heard the doorbell ring, and she came in. We let her in. She told us that she didn't have any details other than Kristen was involved in the accident, involved the car, as they were leaving the festival. And they were being taken to one of the local hospitals.
How did
Brooke, her best friend, had gotten a call from the girl that was with Kristen telling her about the accident. Didn't want to call us, tell us that over the phone and come to her house.
Paul, how did you feel? I read in the book that there was a kind of peaceful feeling that you felt at that time.
It was pretty much a quiet resolve. You know, based on my weeks of struggle with God, you know, and the foreknowledge that he had shared with me concerning my daughter, you know, had given me time to prepare. And as Julie had said, it's hard to explain. One of my friends who doesn't yet know the Lord asked me a few weeks after this, you know, what it felt like to be struggling with God during that time. And all I could think of to explain it was there was beauty in the brokenness. You know, my heart as her father over those weeks was broken. I was crushed, but his grace was always sufficient for the need. And every time that I left him, every time I finished my quiet time, you know, often through, you know, many tears, and sometimes, you know, just lashing out at God because I didn't like, you know, the answers, grace would always win the day in the end. I would always be left completely filled to overflowing with this grace.
How about you,
Julie?
At
this point,
Julie, did you feel the same peace that Paul felt?
Going to the hospital? Is that your question? At that time, did I feel the peace?
Yeah. I mean,
No. I felt... You know, all we had been told was she'd been in some kind of accident. We had no details, had no idea if it was a fender bender or something serious. I had peppered Brooke with questions wanting more information, but something in me told me, I guess it was the spirit letting me know that it was going to be serious. I wouldn't call it a foreknowledge, but I felt a heavy weight that something was coming down and felt drawn. We were very quiet in that drive, about a 30-minute drive to the hospital, and we prayed. And I wish I could say I felt that, but I didn't at that time. In fact, we called our pastor, who was out of state at the time, and normally I wouldn't do that without knowing it was pretty serious.
So, as I'm listening, and I'm taking this part from the book, even these words. I'm going to read something from the book in this pre-recorded interview. When we come back, you'll hear it. But it's just the struggle with how Paul is, as a father, going through it, is wrestling with God, and then, you know, someone might be listening and saying, well, how do you have peace when all this is happening? For Julie, you know, giving her input, well, she didn't have peace. There was more that she wanted to know. So she was peppering Brooke with that. When we come back, you'll hear. Suzanne, as you're listening, what goes on inside you?
Well, I feel like I want to apologize, but it's just, it's hard for me to process what they were both experiencing. It was both so very real to each of them, but in such a very different way.
And apologize for what?
Well, the uncertainty of what I feel listening to this, because I have a lot of questions in my mind that I would like to ask, like, well, Julie, did you see that Paul wasn't reacting in a way that you would have expected, which mm-hmm. I don't think he was. I mean, it brings a lot of questions to my mind, mm-hmm. and yet I hear a sincerity, so I don't disbelieve anything they're saying. It's just I've never been in a situation like this, and I can hardly imagine the pain, the anxiety, calling their pastor even out of state when they're not even sure what the severity is. They were really going through a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, they wrote about it in mm-hmm. the book, because she believed, faith that overcomes even death. You can find out more about the book and get a hold of the book, becausesheBelieved.com. That's where you can get it. When we come back, our final segment with Paul and Julie Huffman, in some ways, yes, gripping, compelling, even disturbing, sharing because of the reality of what took place as they, and the way that they've processed it. And as Suzanne said, there's an authenticity with this, but it's just not the way that you would feel or think someone may respond. But God does do things in ways that we don't always, it's not normative. And when we come back, Paul and Julie will share more. And again, more from Suzanne and me. Stay
and he us. Does that in love, may I add.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, how does a father and mother process the grief of a child? This is Paul and Julie Huffman's story. They've written about it in a book, Because She Believed, speaking of their daughter, Kristen, Because She Believed, Faith That Overcomes Even Death. You can get it there at becausebelieved.com. Paul and Julie, in this pre-recorded interview, thanks for being with us today. I know this is a tough program. But as we listen, let's be open to what the Lord is saying to us, even through them. Here's more from Paul and Julie.
We called our pastor, who was out of state at the time, and normally I wouldn't do that without knowing it was pretty serious.
So, as I'm listening, and I'm taking this part from the book, even these words. Paul, so God was revealing his love as a father to you. But
yeah.
Here's the question, and this may cause a listener to wrestle or be wrestling even as we ask it. Are you saying you believe God caused Kristen's accident? What do you believe?
No. Danny, I don't believe that my prayer caused the accident. I don't believe, you know, that him answering my prayer caused her to have the accident. And I don't believe that God needed those 2 months to convince me to do it his way, you know, make it happen. I believe that he was using his foreknowledge of the tragedy, or what we would consider a tragedy in our flesh. He was using his foreknowledge of that event to answer my prayer. And he was going to cause the good, as he says in his word, cause all things to work together for good. He was going to cause good to come out of it if I would allow it, if I would release Kristen to him and let him do it the way that it needed to be done, and not, you know, where it would be more difficult or not it wouldn't have been released. It would have been, she would have, I would have felt more like she was pulled from me versus me releasing her and trusting God mm-hmm. to be God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it boiled down to is, you know, did I really believe? Every day when I would leave for work, I would tell God I committed everything I had to his care. And I really felt that day when he told me that I need to let her go, that he was saying, you say this every day, but do you believe it? Do you really believe that, you know, I'll work everything together for this? Do you trust me? And that's what I had come to terms with as her father. I could hold on tighter and try to protect her in my strength, or I could trust the one who had always proven faithful. And in the end, I had to trust God. There really was no alternative. If you have faith, that is always the end of the struggle, is Him. And when we've given all that we have and, you know, all that we are, we've come to the end of ourselves. There's God. You know,
I read it. I read in Because She Believed, the title of the book. Julie, that when you were in the hospital and Kristen did pass, you didn't feel that same sense of release or peace. It doesn't surprise me. I think that would be quite normal. But how did you work it within yourselves, between the two of you, this... I'm not saying it was a conflicting feeling, but there are certainly different points of view in terms of how you perceive what had happened to your precious daughter.
I remember in the waiting room calling and talking to the nurse they took her into surgery before we got there. And as soon as they knew the family was there, spoke to a nurse, and she was telling me how serious some of the injuries were. Kristen was 4 foot, 11 inches and 100 pounds. We didn't fault the driver, but it was a terrible accident. And I remember turning and telling Paul what the nurse had said, and he said, let's pray, and we prayed, and he said something to the effect of, you know, sometimes, what was it you said that with that prayer?
That sometimes God has a bigger purpose than what we can see with our eyes, and we can only see it, you know, through his eyes, through his spirit, leading us. And
I said, I know that, but I'm not ready to say that prayer. I'm not ready to let her go. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wonder
if that was God starting to prepare for that very thing, that we were going to lose her physical presence with.
What do you miss most of Kristen?
She was a firecracker. She, as I said, she was tiny. She was from a little island in the South Pacific. And at 19, she was 4 foot 11 and a half, as she would say, and 100 pounds. But she had a big personality. She was bright. She was funny. She was very quick-witted. But she was also very loving, too. She was going to college, but she was also a gymnastics instructor for small children. And they loved her. I missed her wit. I missed her drive. She never backed down. But over the last year, it was almost like God had been preparing us. We had been able to have lunch almost once a week, and she was not usually very demonstrative about her affection in public. She was, I guess, too old to hug her mom. But she had taken to kissing and hugging me every time we met for lunch. And I cherished those times. Mm-hmm. We had that last year. We grieve. We grieve that we won't see her graduate college. We won't see her open a gym. We won't be able to see her moving back to Hawaii as she wanted to. But I would never take her away from where she is now. Mm. She's in a much better place.
I remember Paul and Julie. I actually remember meeting Kristen when she was very young, before they had moved. You know, they were in Hawaii, and to see Kristen and her sister. Well, you know, in this moment, you can hear even Julie and Paul. I do appreciate their perspective and their candidness and their heart for God and living the faith that God has called them, living in the way that God has called them to live. Suzanne, any final thoughts?
Well, I'm so grateful that they were willing to put this into a book form. And you started the program by sharing people that have heard their story. And only God knows who he has reached in a very powerful way through this story. And I think Julie's closing thought that she would not want to call Kristen back, even if she could, from the eternity that she's experiencing. And that in and of itself is a nugget that's very, very important. We have so much focus on this life, and we can only imagine what it would be like to be with Christ in eternity forever.
I hope, my friend, that you've been touched even through the struggle that goes on when you hear a program like this. These insights, life insights from Paul and Julie Huffman. Again, find out more about them at becausheshebelieved.com. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And look, hey, there's no better time than right now, speaking of eternity, to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, oh, my friend, we believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support and prayers, make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Isaiah 5:8-9, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Paul and Julie Huffman, becausheshebelieved.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave